Support for Science Friday comes from TiVo, delivering cable TV and internet TV together in one searchable and unified viewing experience. Available at TiVo.com.
This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. The African elephant is the largest land animal on Earth today, standing up to 13 feet tall at the shoulders and weighing in at up to 14,000 pounds. So it might surprise you that they're afraid of bees, tiny little bees. Elephants will run away from the insects and spread a word of alarm to the rest of the herd with a low rumble that sounds like this. Did you hear that? Can you hear that? Low rumble right there. How do we know what they're saying? I'll let my next guest explain. Joseph Soltis is a research scientist at Disney's Animal Kingdom in Lake Buena Vista, Florida. His study on elephants appeared recently in the journal PLOS ONE. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Soltis.
It's great to be here, Ira.
First, I have to ask you about the bees. Why are giant elephants afraid of the tiny little bees?
Yeah, it's surprising, actually. I mean, obviously, elephants have thick skin, so most places they get stung, it's going to be no problem. But everyone's got sensitive bits, so you can think inside the trunk. You wouldn't want to get bit by a bee or stung, I should say, you know, in your nostril or in the ears. So everyone's got sensitive parts, and young could be particularly vulnerable. So you can't beat up bees. You just got to get away from them.
Yeah, you get stung 500 times by a swarm of bees. Doesn't matter who you are.
No, it doesn't.
All right, let's talk about these elephant noises. I'm going to play you a couple of clips that will compare the two. Let's hear again that rumbling sound the elephants make when they hear the bees. It's very low, Dr. Soltis, isn't it?
Yes, it is. These rumble vocalizations, it's their most common vocalization for African elephants.
Right.
And they have really low frequencies, as you can hear there. Now, we didn't manipulate those calls, but there's frequencies below the ones we heard
yeah,
that are actually in this infrasonic range, that are below the range of human hearing. But some of the components we can hear.
And so the other elephants can hear the things that we can't hear, is what you're saying.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of work on it, but they can hear things that we can't, certainly.
Okay, we have another clip, and this is the sound that the elephants make when they hear the voices of a nearby tribe. Let's hear that one. Wow, very different.
Yeah, they're different in a couple ways. I mean, obviously the second one had the trumpets, and so the human threat is a little bit, you know, more intense
right.
than the threat from bees, even though bees are a threat. And so you get screams and trumpets in addition to rumbles. They both contain rumbles, that is to say their response to bees, their bee alarm call and their human alarm call, both contain rumbles. It's the rumbles that are different.
Mm-hmm. And how do you know that it's the rumbles that they are using to communicate, whether it's the bees or the humans that are around them?
Well, we do playback experiments. So, you know, it's wonderful to go and sit and watch elephants for a long time and try to see how they interact with different threats and the vocalizations they produce. But if you can sort of bring the threats to them and record their vocalizations using playing sounds to them, you can get a lot done in a shorter period of time. So we played them bee sounds, saw how they reacted. We played them human voices from a local tribe, the Samburu tribe, saw how they reacted. But we also recorded their vocal responses to each threat. And then, in a second experiment, we played back those rumble vocalizations, the human alarm call, the bee alarm call, to listening elephants.
And they reacted to them?
They reacted differently. I mean, they're very different threats,
yeah.
You can imagine. So when we play the bee sounds to them, elephants run away. You got to get away.
Right.
And they shake their heads and flap their ears around to try to, I assume, to knock the bees away from their face area. In the humans, it's very different. They do run. They run from the human voices, too. But none of this head shaking. There's no bees around. And they're very vigilant. You know, they will run away, sometimes turn on their heels, and look back and scan to see if these humans produce themselves. Of course, they don't, because we're just playing them human sounds.
So if you played them the human sounds enough, and without the humans showing up, would they just forget it? You know, say that we're not getting fooled anymore?
I think so. So we're pretty careful. We don't play the same stimulus, like the human alarm call, to the same family, even twice. We only do it once.
Do you think these calls are innate, or are they passed on as a language? Are they a real language between elephants?
It's hard to know about the innate question versus learning. We just don't know. They're long-lived animals. They're hard to study throughout their lives. And because of this, the nature of their vocalization, sometimes we can't hear them. So they're hard to study. But when we do record them, we can analyze these rumbles in the lab, and we can find out what the detailed acoustic differences are between, like, the bee alarm call and the human alarm call.
So they're not really putting sentences together then, right?
No. If we wanted to compare it to human language, I would say there's not sentences. So it's not like they're saying, hey, Bob, there's a bunch of bees and one stung me and let's get out of here and meet at that tree that we were hanging out at, you know, yesterday. Nothing like that. But here's the intriguing thing. The difference between the bee alarm call and the human alarm call is just like a vowel change in human language. So let me explain. Imagine the words boo and bee. They mean different things because of that vowel, the oo and the e sound. That change is affected by how we manipulate our tongue and our lips and other parts of our mouth. So everyone out there in radio land, if you sort of form the word boo, you'll notice that your lips are protruding. It makes the vocal tract a little bit longer, deeper sound. Okay. Now say bee, kind of have a smiley face, a wider open mouth, and that changes what we call the resonant frequencies of that vocal tract. It's kind of like a musical instrument. Mm-hmm. And it's that same kind of difference, a shift in these resonant frequencies, a vowel shift, if you will, that distinguishes the bee and the human alarm call.
Do you have any idea how big the elephant vocabulary might be?
Well, so far we've successfully done the bee playback experiments and the human voice playback experiments. There is a third that we've completed, but we haven't finished looking at all. We played a separate tribe called the Turkana, and we want to compare to see if they represent different threat levels to the elephant, we believe, and we want to see if the elephants recognize that and maybe have a separate alarm call. Lions would be another example of something that's a threat to elephants. They might have alarm calls for that. Right now, we just know for the bees and the humans.
Wow, but would they distinguish, and you're saying they might be able to distinguish between two different human tribes?
Actually, other researchers down in Amboseli have shown that.
Yeah.
So you can kind of rank it. Tourists, they get used to, you're inside a car. Like, they're not afraid of us when we do our research up in Samburu National Reserve.
Right.
And then there's tribes that, you know, regularly poach or hunt elephants, and there's other tribes that don't, and they seem to recognize the difference between those tribes. Hmm. Whether they have different alarm calls for those, we don't know yet.
Hmm. Interesting. I know there's a special reason you're so interested in the way elephants react to bees. Tell us about the beehive fence in Africa.
I'd be glad to. You know, it would just be wonderful just to study these elephants and figure out their alarm call system. It's just fascinating to me. But the whole purpose was had a conservation goal. So one of the big problems for elephants everywhere they exist is there's people around and there's farmers. And elephants are herbivores, and so they come right into the farms, and what they don't eat, they're going to, you know, they trample on. And I'm talking about, like, local farmers that are just growing food for their family, not like agribusiness.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to defend themselves. So conservationists are always trying to think of clever ways to stop elephants from entering farms. And that's a tall order because they're big fellows. So some local folks working with the conservation group that I work with in Kenya called Save the Elephants, Ian Douglas Hamilton and Lucy King are my colleagues there. They learned from local folks that elephants are afraid of bees. So it's kind of a rumor. So they thought maybe we could fashion some kind of beehive fence to protect farms, a living fence, as a natural deterrent for crop-raiding elephants. We wanted to prove it, and that's why we did those playback experiments.
And does it work if you put a beehive out there?
Does it
act as a fence? It does.
It's amazing. So this is how they set it up, because even I was surprised how effective it was. So the way it works is they have artificial hives that you build yourself, and they string them together with wire far apart, surrounding just like one local farm. And elephants come at night. The bees are dormant at night sometimes, but they hit that wire, and it's connected to the hive, so it shakes it. Bees come out. They're a little angry. Maybe they smell them or hear them. Maybe they get stung occasionally, and it keeps elephants away. Lucy King from Save the Elephants did research where she compared fenced farms to unfenced farms, and elephant families avoid the fenced farms.
Wow. Well, I've got to ask you, why is Disney, you're a research scientist at Disney's Animal Kingdom, why is Disney researching elephants?
Well, you know, the Disney companies had a long history of commitment to conservation. And just to give you a few examples, you know, here at Disney's Animal Kingdom and other places, people can donate to the Disney's Worldwide Conservation Fund. Works pretty simple. You get small donations, a dollar or two. Disney matches it, and then we distribute those funds to worthy conservation groups all around the world. And it's been in existence for more than 10 years. Hundreds and hundreds of conservation groups have been supported, and I think it amounts to almost $25 million at the moment. But that would be great in and of itself. But your question is more related to me. I guess that's the second thing. We have a lot of talent here at Disney's Animal Kingdom, people that have worked with animals for years, research scientists like myself. And it's part of our job to go and do conservation work if we can find a partner, like the one I work with, Save the Elephants in Kenya. And it's, you know, not on vacation and just get, you know, Disney's permission. That's part of my job. And it just shows that their commitment is in not just word, but deed.
So where do you go from here? What's your next project that you want to know about?
Well, you know, we're not keeping this secret. We want everyone to use beehive fences where it's appropriate. We have a new research site in southern Kenya, and where there's a lot more farmers and opportunity. It's the same situation. You got a new population of elephants in an unfenced park. They come out and they crop raid. We want to find out if those elephants are afraid of bees too. Each population could be a little different, or they react differently. So we're continuing to do bee playback experiments wherever we want to try to implement new beehive fence projects.
All right. It sounds fascinating. We wish you good luck, and thank you for coming on the show today.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Joseph Soltis is a research scientist at Disney's Animal Kingdom in Lake Buena Vista, Florida.